Good morning, y'all, and happy St. Patrick's Day. What a day it is. I hope you're going to go out and support the parade, support the local businesses, and have a great and safe day. I just want to say I'm grateful to be able to be here to speak with you all this morning. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to take time today or for the weekend to pray for your church, to pray for the town of y'all, and to pray for each other. And this morning, I'm going to try and share a message that I've named Stuck in the Middle. So please bear with me as I go through it. It's not the song Stuck in the Middle with you, jokers to the left of me, clowns to the right of me. It's not that kind of message. Stuck in the middle. We hate the middle. No one really wants to be there. Standing in the middle is not the same as sitting on the fence. So I don't want us to get confused. Oh, you know, being stuck in the middle is like sitting on the fence. Sitting on the fence is something completely different. And hopefully by the end of this message, you might understand what I'm talking about. Standing in the middle is not the same as sitting on the fence. You see, the middle is the space we try to avoid. The middle is a place where we have not yet arrived. And it's not necessarily a place we want to be. And the middle can often make us feel neutral. The middle quite often makes us feel we are not doing anything, we're just stuck there. But I want to propose to you this morning that God wants us to get stuck in the middle. The number one call of the enemy is to try and divide. You've heard the old term, divide and conquer, to get you and I to pick a side. The devil wants us to step out of the middle place into another place that will ultimately cause division. And I suppose if we look at Sundays, I think Sundays can be the most segregated day of the week. If we look around the world, if we look at our own town, we got rich churches, we got poor churches, we got black churches, we got white churches, we got Catholic churches, we got Protestant churches, we got Baptist churches, we got Methodist churches. Baptist people go to Baptist churches, Catholic people go to Catholic churches, Church of Ireland people go to Church of Ireland churches, Methodist people go to Methodist churches. And if I was to sit here right now, I bet I could probably divide the room you're sitting in now. If there's two or three people in your room, I bet you I could split and divide the room. Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael or Sinn Féin. The original gangs. Black Lives Matter. The ultimate in the last couple of years, Donald Trump. You see, already now, you probably could be arguing amongst yourselves. Do you know? Who are you? I'm a Fianna Fáil or I'm a Fine Gael? Am I Sinn Féin? We're already splitting. You know, Black Lives Matter, no, all lives matter. Blue Lives Matter. You know, so already we have this divide going on. I'm starting to, I can assume people are starting to pick a side. Donald Trump, no, he's an absolute idiot. Donald Trump, no, he was the best president America ever had. Already you can see, do you see where I'm going? It's quite easy to divide. Well, we could bring it back to social media. Social media gives everyone a voice. And I, for one, don't think that everyone needs a voice. A hashtag can have you picking a side. You read somebody's post, hashtag, whatever the topic is. I don't agree with that. I'm not on that side. I'm on this side. But if we turn to the Bible, in Joshua 3:17, we see something different. The Israelites are going from the wilderness into the promised land. Now, I could read this in the Bible, but by now, I hope that when you're listening to me, you've got your own Bible beside you. And if you don't have one, give me a shout and I'll give you one. For free. So in Joshua 3:17, open it up if you have it. The Israelites are going from the wilderness into the promised land. The Levite priests are in charge of carrying the ark in front of the people with the presence of God. And here, they step into the middle of the River Jordan and wait until everyone passes by. Now, you think that mightn't be, so what? They're standing there in the middle of the river, holding the Ark of the Covenant, and they're watching for people to go by, the Jewish people coming out of the wilderness into the Promised Land. But what I tell you that over 2 million people were passing by. Puts a bit of get a move on. Here the priest had to stand in the middle, and standing in the middle can be hard. I wish they'd get a move on. Look at Paddy over there dragging his heels. Do you know what? My arms are getting sore. The water, it's cold, it's around my ankles, it's freezing. We're standing here. 2 million people were passing by. And standing in the middle can be hard. It can be lonely. It can be cold. It can be frustrating. As I said, people, get a move. I just wish they'd get a move on. But what if God wants you and I to stand in the middle so everyone can cross over to promises instead of picking a side? Let me say that again. What if God wants you and I to stand in the middle so everyone can cross over to the promises that he has for each and every one of us instead of picking a side? I've never seen the Christian church divided as much in theology as I do today. And I'm going to be honest and be real here. We are arguing over stuff that we shouldn't be arguing about. God is looking for a church that will bring things back together, not tear things apart. Division is from the enemy. As God said, let no man separate what I brought together. Oh, I got stuck with Leo Varadkar, and I didn't even vote for him. Well, not many did. But we didn't get stuck with Leo Varadkar. Leo Varadkar got stuck with you. And because you are a Christian, and I'm talking to all Christians that go to the different churches, the Catholic Church, the Church of Ireland, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, the Bible tells you you're supposed to pray for your leaders. It's in the Bible. Leo Varadkar got stuck with you. But you see, I'm not going to step out of where God called me because I'm going to stay stuck in the middle. And you can say, yeah, that sounds pretty cool, Ross. That's really good. That sounds really, encouraging. But don't take my word for it. What about Jesus? Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus in all of this? So I'm glad you're thinking that. You see, Jesus was stuck in the middle, and that's where you and I, that's where God wants you and I to stand. And that's what I love, what we do here at Breaking Bread, because we got it together, church. We got young people who lead our worship. We got old people. We got white people. We got black people. We got all nationalities. And heaven is like that. Heaven is a church that's built together. So let's go to John, the Gospel of John. And you know the story, but I'm going to read through it anyway. It's about the woman who was caught in adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this they said to test him, that they may have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and he said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." So, I'm sure you know that story. You've heard it at church. It's quite a common story. But let's look at the story. Let's look at this event that happened. And when I'm talking, put yourself in the crowd. Put yourself, where are you? Are you the woman who's caught in adultery? Are you Jesus? Are you one of the disciples who's looking at this? Are you one of the crowd? Put yourself in the story. And I quite when I read a Bible story, I tend to do that. I tend to put myself and look at it from different sides. Do you know, I look from different angles. It's almost like a car crash. You get four people looking at a car crash. You get four different accounts. Some will be similar, but ultimately they'll be four different accounts. So put yourself in, read it, and then read it again from a different angle. So let's look at this woman caught in adultery. Now the law said two had to be caught in adultery, but it's only the woman that's brought before the man. So where did the man? Did he jump out the window? Did he run? She was naked. If she's caught in adultery, she was naked. So not only think of that embarrassment of her being brought in front of Jesus by a crowd naked. Maybe she just had the bed sheet that she grabbed. But we know the man ran. And here we see the Pharisees, the legalists, the priests, the ministers of that time, the pastors of that time. And here they're trying to test Jesus to pick a side. But Jesus was in the middle, and he stayed in the middle. Right there, Jesus was standing between the law and the lost. He was in a place where the culture wanted him to pick a side. The law says we should stone her. What do you say, Jesus? The law says we should stone her. What would you have done? And I'm asking you, listeners, this morning, what would you have done? This naked, scared woman in front of you who's been caught in the act of adultery, and the law says stone her, would you pick up the stone and throw it at her? Let me just ponder that for a moment. Yeah, I agree with the law. I mean, the law is the law, stoner. Or God knows her heart, only God can judge her. And what did Jesus do? And I think Jesus is brilliant in how he does this. Absolutely brilliant. He took time. And he probably said to himself, oh, these idiots are at it again. These legalists, these Pharisees. He took time. He bent down and he wrote in the ground. And here's the thing. Nobody knows what he wrote. And I'm probably going to ask him when I get there. And I know, personally, I jump in and I often speak without thinking. And I'm sure there are some of you listening this morning who think, yep, that's me. I'll jump in without listening. But Jesus, he spoke grace publicly and truth privately. Let me say that again. He spoke grace publicly and truth privately, because Jesus is full of grace and he's full of truth, and he was in a messy situation. Jesus is 100% God and he's 100% man. And what makes me personally mad about this event is that Jesus faced the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, who were supposed to be the pastors, the shepherds, the so-called priests, the so-called ministers of the church of that time. You know, these are the people you would go to if your life was messed up and you needed spiritual help. It's a great Catholic tradition to go to confessions, to go to church and look for spiritual guidance of your pastor. So these were the pastors of the time. These were the priests of the time. Yet, instead of pastoring this woman, these religious know-it-alls took advantage of her and were ready to kill her so they could just get Jesus into trouble. It wasn't about the woman caught in adultery. They were trying to trap Jesus. Was Jesus going to insist on the strict application of the law in this particular case? And when you read it, you think, like, here's Jesus and he's caught between a rock and a hard place. And quite often we will find ourselves caught between a rock and a hard place. And maybe it's time for us to stop for a moment and write in the sand. The story tells us that Jesus bent down and wrote in the sand. And I said, no one knows what he wrote, but here's what I think. And this is not gospel. This is not, please don't say, oh, you said, I don't know what he said. But maybe, just maybe, there's a verse in Jeremiah that relates to this in Jeremiah 17, 13. Chapter 17, verse 13. And it says, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. And I thought, wow, maybe Jesus started writing the names of the leaders. Again, don't take me for that. Please don't quote me. You know, the guy from Breaking Bread says, you know, please don't do that. But they kept questioning him. And finally, Jesus stands up and says, let them without sin throw the first stone. Again, this is, you know, when you get this is just brilliant. You see, Jesus was far from being trapped by these legalists. And now he's trapped them in two ways by saying that, let him without sin throw the first stone. The first way Jesus trapped them is, the Pharisees believed all people were sinners. So if they picked up a rock and threw it, they would be guilty of lying because they would be saying they had no sin. It's good to take time to write in the sand. The second way, they would be guilty of blasphemy as God is the only one without sin. So if they pick up a rock and they threw it at the woman caught in adultery, not only would they be lying, they'd be claiming to be God. And guess what? Like adultery, blasphemy was punishable by death, and death by stoning. The very rock they could have thrown at the woman could have been picked up and thrown back at them. To the woman, Jesus said, "Has no one condemned you?" You see, Jesus, with the authority, had convicted them, and they dropped their stones one by one, and they went home. And Jesus turns to this woman who's naked, who's afraid, who knows she sinned. And he said, "Has no one condemned you? Neither do I." And he says, very important, go and sin no more. And quite often we forget about that. Jesus didn't condemn the woman in adultery. He didn't. He showed her the grace, the mercy, and the love of a loving father. But he says, hey, don't do that again. That's not the way I have planned for you. So you see, here we see Jesus stuck in the middle. He's stuck between the law and the lost. And we can prove a point, or we can provide a place, but we can't do both. And so many Christians, and I was guilty of that for a long time, so many of us Christians, we want to prove a point. And like God needs us to prove a point. He is God, whether you believe it or not. God wants to provide a place. And we are quick to react to other people and what they say. Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, they can say something and we're all over it. We're tweeting about it, we're hashtagging about it, you know, hashtag idiot, hashtag this, hashtag that. But when you say something, you don't want people all over it. Remember that time when you did that thing that you weren't supposed to do? Or you said that thing that you weren't supposed to say? You see, we can prove a point or we can provide a place. And that's not the only time Jesus was stuck in the middle. If we move forward, we find Jesus stuck in the middle again on a cross between two criminals. Here is Jesus stuck on the cross, standing in the middle. First criminal says, "If you are the Son of God, come down of the cross, save yourself and save us." You see, the devil knew that if he could get Jesus off the cross, we wouldn't get the salvation. We would not get to cross over into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus could have said, "Yep, I am the Son of God." But he keeps quiet. There's that keeping quiet. He doesn't respond to him. He remains silent. And I don't know if you've realized, as we're going through this Lent, as we're coming up to Easter Sunday, we will read the story of the crucifixion, we will read the passion about the passion. But I don't know if you've realized that through his trial, they kept trying to get Jesus a way out. Even when they arrested him and brought him to the Sanhedrin, they acted illegally because they were not allowed to meet at night. But Jesus kept quiet. He kept quiet for most of the time. Second criminal says on the cross, "We are guilty. Jesus has done nothing wrong." So he doesn't respond to the first criminal. The second one, he does. He says, "Surely I say to you, you will be with me in paradise today." You'll be with me in paradise today. He doesn't condemn him. He forgives him. He shows all the grace, all the mercy, and all the truth of a loving Saviour. So I want to ask you, can you get stuck in the middle between those who believe and those that don't, and not lose your character and not lose your purpose? When somebody questions your stance, don't be quick to pick a side. Take a pause, write in the sand, be quiet. but do not be quick to pick a side. I believe God is looking for Christians to get stuck in the middle and to love people come hell or high water and stand on the word of God. Because God is coming back for the church. He is not coming back for a white church or a black church, a Baptist church, a Catholic church, a Church of Ireland church, a Pentecostal church. He is coming back for a church that will get stuck in the middle. He is coming back for a church that will get stuck in the middle of the law and the lost. He's coming back for a church that will love the hell out of people, that will meet people no matter their background, no matter how far they have travelled away from God. He is looking for those people who will get stuck in the middle. It's what revival is. It is standing in front of something that is painful, but not willing to step away from it. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. It was painful. He could have come down. But he said, if I come down, no one makes it over to everlasting life, so I'm going to stay stuck in the middle. And it was hard for him to hear all those people shout, crucify him, when only days earlier on Palm Sunday, as we celebrated, they were praising him. Jesus took all that stuff because he refused to pick a side. And some of you are saying now, well, Jesus is not on the cross anymore. But guess where he is now? Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39 says, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and his role is to be an intercessor. Do you know what an intercessor is? Someone who's stuck in the middle. Jesus has one hand in heaven and one hand in earth because determined to finish what he started. He is not picking a side. He is stuck in the middle. No matter what you have done, no matter what you're going through, we serve a God who's not turning his back on you. Jesus is saying, Father, you said if I died on the cross, you would give them a second chance that they need. So I'm not leaving them. My blood paid for them. And God is looking for such a church, for men, for women who will not get caught up in picking a side, but will stay stuck in the middle. A church that intercedes for a town, a church that intercedes for a family member, a church that intercedes for a friend. Sometimes it is easier to pick a side than to stay stuck in the middle. It is easier to say, this is what I think, not thinking about what that does. We can do grace and truth. We can provide a place for all. But I think God likes to see a church that has elbows linked, that is stuck in the middle. And I know I don't understand everything. And I know I look weak and vulnerable. And I know people want me to say something on my stance, but I'm not going to let the enemy separate me. I'm not going to let the enemy cause division, so I'm going to stand in the middle of the riverbed so that everyone can cross over. I'm going to love the hell out of people. I'm going to love the lost. I'm going to love the hurting. Come on, if you believe it, wherever you are, can you shout amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can share your message, Lord. And I pray that this message just resonates and sinks down into people's hearts. Lord, that we're not quick to speak or to pick a side, but we take time and we consider what you would do. We have seen in the gospel that Jesus never picked a side. He stayed in the middle. He stood his ground between the law and the lost, Lord. So I ask that you encourage each and every one of us to stand on that middle ground between the law and the lost, loving the hell out of people, praying for this town. praying the enemy out, Lord, for all those who have addiction, for all those who are in depression, for all those who are suicidal, Lord, that there is a way. There is a way to freedom. There's a way to break the curse. And that curse can be broken by us standing in the middle, Lord, with you on our side. Lord, help us to do grace and truth and mercy. Let us not to be judgmental, Lord. As Billy Graham once said, you know, God's job is to judge, the Holy Spirit is to convict. Our job is to love people. So, Lord, let us be full of that love for people. Let us see people as Jesus saw them. Let us speak as Jesus spoke. And we ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. You have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army. Find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper.